Welcome to the eLaborate Topics podcast, where we focus on lab-specific strategies for medical laboratory professionals. We're proud to be the healthcare detectives that work behind the scenes to get the results needed to influence medical decisions. Let's grow together and jump right into the lab.
Hello, lab friends. I am one of your co-hosts, Lona Small, and I'm just going to tell you a little bit about myself in case you're joining for the first time. I'm a clinical lab scientist, I'm a quality assurance specialist, and I'm a lab leadership coach. My passion is to help laboratorians demonstrate their value as an important part of the whole. I coach lab leaders to create a collaborative culture and to empower the next generation of lab leaders. Today, I'll be your solo host, and today's topic is one of my favorites. I'm talking about collaboration with other healthcare groups, lab leaders stepping up and stepping out. I just want you to consider some questions that I'm going to pose. How do you feel every time you have to tell a doctor or a nurse the same thing about how a test should be ordered, collected, or labeled? When you have to explain for the millionth time that clotting takes place at the point of collection, and it's not caused because the specimen was left sitting too long in the lab. Explain that you already know that the specimen was collected on the same side as the IV, and the IV fluid was not paused. And you cancel that specimen only to receive another one with the same issue. Is it tiring addressing wrong containers, explaining hemolyzed specimens you were told happened because you took too long to run it, specimen collected from trough or peak at the wrong time in reference to when the doses was given, and then you're suddenly asked or you're responsible to fix the results? Labels that cause equipment malfunction or unnecessary multiple orders on a patient, improper specimen containers, and the list goes on. I know, you get it. I didn't even need to go past the first one on the list. And I do. I spent the last 20 years telling nurses and providers how to invert the tubes to stop clotting, to pause the IV line, to do the add-ons to prevent multiple sticks to patients. And after 20 years, nothing changed. So for me, something changed when I went to grad school to pursue my healthcare MBA with a focus on healthcare administration. During that time, I worked with other healthcare leaders from different disciplines. My class had 70% physician leaders, 20% nursing leaders, and 10% were lab. I think I was the only one. There was another person who left, and radiology and PT. That experience had really helped me a lot to rethink the way I communicate with providers and the way I approach problem solving. In the beginning of the program, I was apprehensive. I was tainted, and I did not expect other healthcare groups to be receptive to the lab's perspective. I kept quiet for a while and observed. Most of the discussion I really couldn't relate to. There were discussions on Medicare reimbursement, hospital length of stay, core measures, talking about the state of healthcare and healthcare policy. And this was the time at the beginning of the Accountable Care Act. At first, I couldn't see how the lab fit into any of that. But as time went on, and there was this big focus on the Institute of Medicine report, the air to err is human, I started kind of seeing some connection, because when you start talking about healthcare errors, we in the lab see a lot. And I started seeing how we could help to prevent some of these errors. So I knew the lab contribution to diagnosis and how we could prevent diagnostic errors. At the time, there was not a big talk about diagnostic errors. A few years after, the report came out from the same Institute of Medicine on improving diagnostic healthcare. But during that time, I started seeing our connection to direct patient care, actually, to hospital length of stay, how we could improve that, and how we as a lab could improve hospital reimbursement. And so the discussion with the ACA and the contribution to quality and value care versus volume care, it really piqued my interest. And that's kind of where my whole trajectory changed into healthcare quality and how lab had such a huge impact on healthcare quality. So I started contributing to the discussions, and other healthcare groups were very receptive. As we learn from each other, how we all contribute to this whole. And other things I realized from these discussions were that the healthcare groups, all of the healthcare groups really care about making a difference. And I knew then that they want to do great work. They don't want to send specimens in the wrong tube, just like how we don't want to cancel specimen if we don't have to, which of course sometimes they think we enjoy doing. I also realized that they don't know enough about the lab and the lab requirement, and that's because there was not enough taught in med school and nursing school regarding lab and what we do. So another thing is that they were willing to learn if that learning took place in the right setting. So I worked in groups, and we would do projects that were related to what we actually do on the job. And I found out that many of our group projects, people wanted to do something related to the lab. So I ended up working with a chief geriatric surgeon to convert a lab to total lab automation. At the time, we were moving into a whole new total lab automation in my lab, and we worked and we utilized decision processes where we involved stakeholders in coming up with criteria and waiting for things that is important to them and making selections that are important to them and having everyone that's affected by the change be participating in the change, selecting these automation. I also work with a chief nursing officer to come up with a policy and a tool that I came up with to help patients involved in their selection of lab tests. So there was this transparency when it comes to the cost and pricing of lab tests and the relevance of these testing, and they were able to be involved in the selection, and that improved the test utilization and cost. And I also work with a chief information officer to organize a lab section to reduce waste and also to balance staffing. So these were some great opportunities to have discussions to highlight the lab and the contribution of the lab to the big picture in healthcare. And these were learning experiences for all. And what I learned was really powerful. And that changed the trajectory and the direction in which I was going in my career and my interest and my mission. And I know that it gets really frustrating when trying to work with other healthcare groups to fix issues affecting the lab. We try things like sending them the policy to say that, oh, this is our policy and this is why it should be followed. And if you continue, we sometimes threaten to withhold services. We may hit them with, or we may just grumble among ourselves and we say, well, 70% of medical data for diagnosis come from the lab. And some of us may just ignore things or decide that we're just not going to bother because they see us as if we are at the bottom of the totem pole. And of course, it's good to be at the bottom of the totem pole. But what I learned from my experiences working with healthcare groups is that when we contribute to positive outcomes in a collaborative environment, we gain influence, we demonstrate our value, and we make an impact. So how do we do this? I want you to get your pen and paper out because I'm going to list 8 must do. If you want to have effective collaboration and demonstrate your value and your impact, I'm going to list 8 must do. And while I'm going through these 8, I'm going to mention some of the projects that I've used that cause hospital-wide changes. I won't be able to go into much detail with them, but I'll just mention a few as I go through these 8 must-dos. So the first thing is to grasp the opportunity. So when a situation such as an unsafe process or opportunity to prevent patient harm or just to reduce costs comes up, grasp that as an opportunity to collaborate. One example from one of our projects, when we got a report from our phlebotomists were attempting to draw on limbs that had restrictions like shunts, we jumped to that opportunity to find out what was going on there. So we grasped that as an opportunity. Number 2, involve stakeholders. And stakeholders are people who are affected by or who may be affected by any changes or improvement that may occur as a result of the collaboration. So involve also people who have authority to enact these changes and also people who have the expertise to make the changes. So when our phlebotomists complained that nurses refused to disconnect IV for them to draw blood, we included as part of our stakeholders the vascular access team, the hospital epidemiology and infection control team. We involved our phlebotomists that actually do the work, and we also involved different leadership groups. And just by collaborating with these different stakeholders, we actually found out that disconnecting these IV line was an old process that used to be used, and actually it posed danger to the patient and the possibility of the patient ending up with central line associated bloodstream infection. So it was so important to have everybody on board. Number 3, agree on a common goal. So agree on a goal that is important to all of you, like it could be a goal to meet some organizational objective, just as reducing CLABSI or sepsis for one, or it could be a patient safety or patient-centered goals, or just improving work environment for all. So for the lab, when we reported delays in wait time to collect psychiatry patients, and the psychiatry group and the lab met to see how we could resolve these delays, all parties agreed that phlebotomy delays cause lab results delays, which affect medication administration to these psychiatric patients that's scheduled at a certain time. And these delays also affect patient discharges and therefore hospital length of stay. So it's not only affecting the patients and their medication that they need to get at a certain time, but it's also affecting the bottom line, whereas if patients stay longer, it costs hospital more. So if we can agree on things that is going to affect us all around, it's a great starting point. Number four, choose champions to promote the changes in the relevant areas. So for us, when we were looking at the phlebotomy delays in the psych patients, we designed some checklists for the nurses to use to prevent the patients from being delayed. Just make sure they're preparing these patients before phlebotomy comes, like making sure patients have their scannable wristband, making sure they know where these psych patients are, telling them that they need to get blood so they don't refuse. And so even with this checklist, we needed to have nurse champions on those units. And the nurse champions were there to ensure that other nurses were actually using these checklists to prepare those patients for phlebotomy. So it's so important to have champions. Number five, communicate your changes. So if you're going to make any changes, it's so important to have to communicate these changes. So when we had reports of phlebotomy drawn from these restricted limbs and drawn from shunts, we found out that there were no standardized alerts for phlebotomy to know that there were restrictions. There were just all these different things that people were using. They may have a wristband with a certain color. Some people may put a note somewhere all over the unit that is easily missed. So we all got together with facilities and came up with a standardized way to alert phlebotomists. And with these standardized signage, we needed to communicate that across the hospital because this was a hospital-wide change. And we wanted to make sure that everyone were aware and people were actually using them. So we had to use so many channels of communication. We used blogs. We used educational bundles, educational newsletters. We went to committee meetings. We had the champions on the units working. We communicated to the nurse managers. The nurse educators were communicating, and we had to communicate. And even after so many channels of communication, we still found gaps that we continue to communicate. So communication is so important when you're collaborating and trying to improve and contributing as a lab in these changes. Number six is to sustain these changes. So if there's any kind of change, if it's not sustained, people go right back to where they've always done stuff. So we want to make sure we're changing policies, we're changing procedures, and we're using champions in each area to monitor these changes, to monitor to make sure that they're still doing what they needed to do. And an example for you was, for us, we worked with the same CLABSI group. Central Line Associate Bloodstream Infection had a group in our hospital, and once we communicated to them that if they keep sending IV contaminated specimen to the lab, that's the opportunity for those nurses who work in the ICU with patients with IV line to keep going in, to keep rejoin and cancellation, repeated entry to those lines could be an opportunity for CLABSI. So we reported and we monitor these IV contaminated specimen that were canceled on a monthly basis, and we send these reports to the CLABSI group so that they could monitor the collectors, they could do education and try to continue to reduce those IV contaminated specimens. So that was a great way to monitor to sustain the changes. Number seven, demonstrate the value of the improvement or change. So whenever you decide to participate in any change, show that what you've done as a lab was valuable. Demonstrate it to the rest of the hospital. And there are different ways. For us, when we did our nursing skills day, we actually participated as a lab in the annual nursing skill days, and we had tables for specimen labeling, specimen collection, we had microbiology, we had the core lab, we had blood bank, showing and teaching about containers and, you know, proper labeling and showing them the why of how poor labeling could affect our automation. Once that was done, of course, for one department alone, like Department of Medicine, we had like 400 nursing coming through. And we wanted to make sure that whatever we did, we weren't wasting time. It was valuable and it was effective. So we had an assessment for all nurses after they came through to make sure that they learned what was relevant. And not only we had an assessment, but we did a impact study. So after a few weeks of the training, we wanted to make sure that there were certain areas there were improvements. We looked at our labeling to see if there were improvements. We looked at the cancellation in blood bank specimen or microbiology containers to see if there were improvements. So we did an impact study. We looked at it soon after the training and a few months afterwards. And then we started looking at a return on investment to see that how lab errors could be costly to the institution. So we started working on return on investment. That's not complete. There were some delays due to our COVID, but it's so important to demonstrate value of your contribution to healthcare on a whole. So that's number seven. And number eight is so important, and that is reporting on any changes that you contribute to or any improvement. And I know for that, that's one thing that we're not usually very good with. But I remember going to a sepsis committee meeting, and it's good to report at committee meetings, conferences, maybe do a blog or a symposium. But I went to a sepsis meeting, and I reported on how we as the lab helped with reducing sepsis through our whole blood lactate turnaround time and what we did to monitor and how that affected the outcome. Report on your outcomes, report on your ROIs, report on your impact study. Make it visible how lab is contributing to the big picture on a whole, how lab is contributing to CLABSI, to sepsis, to all these big objectives that the hospital have and Medicare and Medicaid look at. So they can see our importance to the whole. And, you know, I talk about reporting, and that's one mistake I want to focus on for us that I've made that I'd want to make sure that you don't make. It's so easy for us, maybe not so easy, but once we get involved and we make these changes, we want to move on to the next project. And so one mistake that I'd encourage people not to make is not just move on without actually reporting and showing the impact that whatever improvement that you've made or you have collaborated with, what that does to the big picture on a whole. And it's so important to collaborate. And I just remember this from one of a book that I've read, and it actually said, when two heads come together, you form a third head. And can you imagine if we have more than just two heads coming together, how many heads in terms of our expertise that we have to bring to the table, utilizing other expertise, what we get as a result when it comes to collaboration. And when I think about that also, another thing that comes to mind is not just collaborating with other healthcare workers, but collaborating among us as laboratorians. First, collaborating among us. And when I observe other associations, and I know that for us, we have all these professional associations. We have AACC, ACLS, ASCP, I should say. But even with nursing and doctors, even though they have all these associations, there is, when I think about the AMA, which is the American Medical Association, you're still part of that AMA, even though you may have your orthopedic association and your pathology and, you know, psychiatry association. What if we as a lab would just come together as one in one association? This is not saying that we forget about the different association that we are from. There's CLMA, there's ASCLS. But what if we join force, join one voice, join heads, and start thinking of how we can join voices together to advocate and shine the light of the lab, shine the light on us. And I think right now is a great time that people are actually looking at the lab. If we could use this time right now, because I don't know how big this window is, but if we could use this window to come together, to use the expertise that we all have, and I know it's not our fault that some people end up in maybe ASCLS or ACP without realizing that we don't have to be separate. You know, we can still join forces together, but if we do that, can you imagine what big difference we can make to come up with great ideas to see how we can be this force and how much we are such an important part of the whole, an important part of the whole in healthcare. So that's kind of one thing that I'd want us to think about. And think about that when we turn this blog off. Just think about what ways we could come together to make this happen. And I have a group, the Lab OPEX group. There are other smaller groups. There's the Lab 2.0. There's ASCC. There's Lab Quality Confab. There's Dark Report. Let's get together. Another thing that I would ask you to do once you turn this podcast off, for people who have never been in any collaborative environment or probably very hesitant to collaborate, the first thing I'll do, I have something that I would ask you to use, and it's really easy. And you could, I'm going to put that in the show notes, and you could just pull that up. It is I call it the 5 baby steps that you could use to step out of the basement and move towards the C-suite. So I'm going to put a link for that in the show notes, but I really enjoyed this talk that we have. As I said, this is one of my favorite topics, and I'm glad that you joined me today to have this discussion. And you know, you can always listen to other episodes on Elaborate Topics. Most of the episodes can be found on your favorite podcast platform. You can go right here to directimpactbroadcasting.com to listen to more episodes. And you can always catch up with me on LinkedIn. I have a hashtag that you can follow. It's you are an important part of the whole. And I want us to just walk away thinking how we can all come together to collaborate among ourselves and to collaborate with other healthcare groups and solve many of the healthcare problems that we're having today. There's a big focus now on diagnostic errors, and we have a lot to contribute in that area. So until we talk again, subscribe to this podcast, download this podcast, and just keep listening to Elaborate Topics on Direct Impact Broadcasting. Have a great one.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Elaborate Topics, where your hosts discussed relevant strategies for laboratory professionals. Please subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcast platform and listen to us on directimpactbroadcasting.com. Stay tuned for another episode with information you can use to excel in your laboratory career.